of our CEJO session, September 8, 2017. The time is 10:06 a.m. Congressman Shaw, would you render a morning prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us today, help guide our hearts and minds as we strive to make decisions in the best interest of Ushaji people, Father. And ask to be with our mourners, Father, those families who are still hurting from loss of loved ones, Father, our people in uniform, Father. And Father, today we have some momentous decisions to make. We ask you to be with us and help give us guidance so that our current Congress and those congressional bodies elected in the future will have the best path possible, hopefully based on our work. Father, we ask you to take our personalities out of it, let us take our own hearts, and let's just make a decision that's in the best interest of all, Father. And thank you for all your blessings, this wonderful building you've allowed us to meet in, the good weather, this time of year, and all those things that mankind enjoys as pastimes, Father. But we want your will, Father, for what we are about to do today, Father, and we thank you for all that you do. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Bucklehead?
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congressman Norris?
Here.
Congressman Shaw?
Here.
Congressman Supermill?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorse?
Here.
Speaker Pratt?
That's you.
Assistant Chief Redcorn?
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Next is approval of the journal. Please review the journal for September 7th. Congresswoman Edwards.
Page 2, singular committee reports.
Excuse me, what did you say?
On page 2, the first select committee, it would be committee reports.
Reports, I do pass. Okay, thank you. Congressman Walker.
The motion to appeal the decision of the chair had actually passed with 8 yeas and 3 nays.
What page is that?
Congresswoman Whitehorse.
Motion to adjourn. I believe that I see the amendment left at 10:46 a.m. I don't see that the amendment was returned. So the motion to adjourn is at 9:00 a.m.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
Page 3, motions and notices. I think there needs to be a B before congressional affairs.
I couldn't hear you. What?
Page 3, under motions and notices, a B inserted before congressional affairs.
Okay, thank you.
Move to approve the journal as amended.
Sorry. made and seconded to approve the journal as amended. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. The journal is approved. Congressman Mason, with one abstention from...
I abstained.
With two abstentions, Congressman Mason and Congressman Buffalo Hood. Right, next is reports of select committees. Are there any select committees to report? Seeing none, reports of... Reports of standing committees. Are there any standing committees to report? Seeing none, next is introductions of bills and resolutions. Are there any bills or resolutions to... Congresswoman Buffalo Hood.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress, and those in attendance. Resolution number ONCR-1737 is a resolution to approve the Osage Nation Election Board rules and regulations governing elections in accordance with the Osage Nation Election Code. And bill number ONCA-17107 is an act to govern the conduct of the Osage Nation elections, including elections for Principal Chief, Assistant Principal Chief, Osage Nation Congress, elections for the retention of judges in the Osage Judiciary, and other elections required by the Constitution and by law, and to establish an alternate effective date. I filed these bills in a special session and had to withdraw them. The committee has been working off the filed legislation that I filed previously in the red line version, and these are set to be on the agenda in GovOps today at 1 o'clock. So I would like to move for to suspend the rules, modify the agenda, and move these to first reading on today's agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded.
Discussion.
There's no discussion. It's a
rule suspension,
so there is no discussion. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no.
No.
One no vote from Congresswoman Edwards. Okay. Order. Congresswoman. Order. Congresswoman Edwards, order, please. It passed. The motion passed. Okay, if there are no more bills or resolutions to be introduced, we're on bills and resolutions on first reading. Congresswoman Edwards.
ONCA 17-106 is an act to ratify the passage of legislation previously passed by the Osage Nation Congress with less than seven votes, and to establish an alternate effective date. ONCR 1736 is a resolution to approve amendments to the Articles of Operation for the Limited Liability Company, Tallgrass Economic Development, LLC, to change the number of years from 5 to 3 to pay a dividend to the nation.
Thank you. ONCA 17-106. We'll move to general order day one on the next day's agenda. ONCA 17-107 is assigned to governmental operations. ONCR 1736 is assigned to commerce, gaming, and land. And ONCR 1737 is assigned to governmental operations. Let me back up. Please disregard my assignments for the bills that were moved to general order. I did not write it down on the agenda. Okay, so 17-106 is general order day one, and 1736 is commerce, gaming, and land. We're now on general order day one. Second reading. is in order. One quick, Congresswoman Tillman. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have a point of order. The two resolutions, one resolution, I just want to get clear on the table because there's a little bit of confusion. The vote that we took was to suspend the first reading, was to place it on first reading, so did those get assigned?
The resolution and the, yes, 17107 and 17, I would say 17107 or 1737 did get assigned.
Where are they assigned?
Governmental operations.
Okay, thank you. That helps me.
Okay, I assigned all four of them, and then I got a lot of looks, so I was like, okay, disregard. But so then that confused me because I was trying to now move it down to general order day one since everyone looked like they disagreed with me on assigning them. But I will.
We got it.
That will stand where I assigned them. So if anyone needs it repeated, then okay. But I sent 17106 to general order day one, 17107 to governmental operations, ONCR 1736 to commerce, gaming, and land, and ONCR 1737 governmental operations. All right. We are now on general order day one, second reading. Congressman Tillman. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief.
Thank you.
ONCA 17-91, an act to amend 21 ONC section 1-102 of the Osage Nation Membership Act to define birth certificate and to establish an alternate effective date.
Thank you, Congressman. Next on the agenda is a proposed amendment to the rules of the Osage Nation Congress. Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to approve the amendment number one to rule 5.9 and 6.1.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
I have an amendment to the motion. After bill, insert and a resolution. And strike the last sentence. Of page 16.
After bill, add and a resolution and strike what?
The second sentence.
Okay, there is an amendment to the motion. Is there a second?
Second for discussion.
Second by Congressman Tillman. Discussion? Congressman Walker.
Well, if the intent of this rule change is to hopefully get in accordance or in line with the Constitution, resolutions aren't laws. So I would just point that out. I'll be voting no for this.
Okay, Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, you're right, resolutions aren't laws, but resolutions take the same path and have the same structure as a bill. For whatever reason, we, as a Congress, said that they're only advisory, but the chief has to either approve the resolution in order for it to be valid, or he vetoes a resolution, which I'm unfamiliar with that model, but it's in our Constitution. And then it's subject to an override by Congress. So to me, the treatment of the resolution is no different than the treatment of the bill. And therefore, I think it makes it even more confusing to carve out the resolution. So this way, all bills and resolutions are treated the same way.
Congressman Shaw?
I understand my colleague's intent with the amendment. Just as I had expressed a few days ago, it might have been during the Rules Committee meeting, that I've always really thought that bills had a substantially greater impact than a resolution. I'm not trying to discount the role of a resolution as being nothing or minimal or mild. It still can have far-reaching implications, but I think if you were trying to weigh the relative impact of a law that later becomes codified and until it's repealed or amended is the law of the land, I just think that a resolution is substantially less impactful, and I don't think it should run into the same category as votes required for passage as does a resolution. So I still think that bills should have the higher threshold for approval for passage than a resolution and would not support this amendment.
Thank you. Congresswoman Edwards?
But the fact is we're using resolutions to waive sovereign immunity. And again, if we don't require a majority of the Congress, you're back to having the potential, if you believe it's the members present, then you're back to having an oligarchy where four people out of a 12-member body decide to waive sovereign immunity. Now, we can discuss all the problems now with having sovereign immunity waived by resolution. And I think at this point, sovereign immunity needs to be waived by law, but that's how it's been handled. And I still, again, think it goes against the canons of a democracy to have four people voting and passing laws and resolutions. You're right, most of those resolutions are just expressions of opinion. But unfortunately, or fortunately, we have in our Constitution that they must be approved by the chief, they can be vetoed, and they are subject to override. So at that point, I think we should go consistent with the language of what we're going to do with bills as well. That's all.
Okay, Congressman Walker?
Once again, I applaud the ability of scare tactics and worst case scenarios and their effectiveness around here. It was pointed out yesterday by the sponsor of the ratification bill that she went through the bills that had passed with less than seven votes, and there were 12, I believe, 8 to 12, somewhere in there. Not one of them passed with four votes, I might remind you. So that's never happened in the history of this 11-year government. So this notion that's been touted about for the last month of possibly waiving our sovereign immunity and passing these laws or repealing a certain member of Congress's all the bills that they've passed by four members of Congress plus one, it's never happened, although that is a worst case scenario and it is possible, so I guess it needs to be part of the decision making, but it's my opinion, it doesn't need to be the overriding reason. Again, I stated why I'll be voting no, and this is, resolutions are not laws. The Constitution clearly says the passage of laws by the majority of Congress.
Congressman Supernaw?
Would this apply to all resolutions or just those that are subject to veto?
As far as I know, all resolutions are subject to veto.
No, that's all. No. Don't go to the chief.
Oh, you mean the ones that are internal for the Congress? I'd say yes. Again, why would you want four people on a 12-person Congress deciding? I don't know why you want the assistant principal, well, but the assistant principal chief deciding a 4-4 tie when the resolutions are. Well, actually, that's a good reason for it not to happen. And in response to Congressman Walker, there hasn't been a category hurricane hit Florida in the last 11 years either. But you don't plan, you've got to be thinking of the future. You can't just say, oh, it hasn't happened yet, so it might not. I mean, when it does, then you look foolish when you're sitting there trying to debate whether in a 4-4 tie on the day that the principal chief is also, the assistant principal chief is also chief for the day, what could happen. And we have had some situations where the assistant principal chief was acting as the principal chief for the day and could have taken a bill, voted on a tie, signed it into law, and that would have made five people decide an entire future of our nation. And I don't really think that that's what the people thought was going to happen when they voted for the Constitution.
Any more discussion to the amendment? Congresswoman Whitehart.
I think consistency is a good practice. I think when we start saying this vote's going to take this level, this vote's going to take this level in our process of voting on bills and resolutions, it's a pretty ragged process, and it's one that's not committed to memory easily. We rely on our parliamentarian as it is now to know our vote counts on suspensions of rules, on constitutional amendments. There are already some different thresholds, in my opinion, to when we're sitting here and we're considering this for our body and the work we do at this table on votes on resolutions and to enact laws, I believe a consistent practice is the best practice. So there is no confusion. So at this time, I do support this amendment, and it has just been presented to me now. Maybe it was made yesterday, but I didn't consider it yesterday because we moved on from this. But just in my consideration of thinking about it as a whole and the practice, a consistent practice of this body, I think it's best that it remains an equal number. So I would support the amendment.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Let me say that Congressman Shaw, I think, has the right theory, which is, and that theory was adequately explained when he made the motion. But I don't see that if we're going to say this language means this, that we should then go back and say it doesn't mean that same thing for a resolution. I think it has to mean the same thing. If it left out, if it doesn't say members present, then it needs to mean the whole of the body. And it doesn't distinguish in the Constitution between bills and resolutions, does it?
Congressman Shaw.
It actually just says bills. It actually is not, I don't see a specification about the resolutions in there. You could assume that, well, they must mean the resolutions too. They didn't say it, but see, that's the heart of what we're trying to do, is to try to set an interpretation of this Congress going forward, not an attempt to amend the Constitution, perhaps to set in rule what our interpretation is. And it really just talks about bills. My intent was, during the same time that we're setting our interpretation of what's required to pass a bill, that we would also treat resolutions and set an understanding and interpretation of that as well. I understand my colleague's endorsement of uniformity, but our Constitution, as she mentioned, has several different vote thresholds for different acts. So, I mean, so the framers of this Constitution meant for it to be to have different thresholds depending on the significance of what the vote was required. In fact, that's part of the reason why many of us believe that a majority of the entire membership of Congress ought to be required to pass a bill that's likely or has the significance of possibly being passed and signed into Osage law. We feel like that should be the majority of the entire membership of Congress. I don't know that I speak for the majority of the people here, but I know those people I've spoken to that support this rule change as is believe that. As far as resolutions, my only argument to not include it as for the majority of the entire membership of Congress is because it's a different type of legislation, and it wasn't specifically mentioned in the Constitution. So we're free to make changes based on as we see fit in our rules.
Congressman Edwards.
I'll make an amendment to my motion to strike and a resolution, but to strike that last sentence. And the reason is, it is in section 15, and the wording in section 15 is actually kind of problematic. It says, presentation of orders, resolutions, and votes to principal chief. Each order, resolution, or vote, except as they relate to the business of an adjournment of the legislature, shall be presented to the principal chief. Now, I'm not sure what order and vote it's talking about. So I think if we address the bill issue, the succinct issue of the bill here with this rule change, that's a start, and that's important, because that's where we've got some inconsistency. We'll have to deal with this later, because I really, can anybody here articulate what an order or a vote might be that would be presented to this principal chief, which would be subject to a veto? What kind of vote could we have that would do that? I mean, theoretically, you could say it's a motion, a vote on a motion. And that would really get out of hand. So my amendment is to strike a resolution, but to still strike that second sentence, so we're only dealing with bills right now.
To make it less confusing for everyone, can you withdraw and restate?
Yes.
Strike the last sentence.
Uh-huh. My amendment now is to strike the last sentence of the...
Can you withdraw, please?
I withdraw, and I move the following amendment, strike the last sentence of page 16. On that insert, on the amendment. Is that clear? No?
Okay, so... The only amendment is striking the second sentence.
Correct.
So it would still read, a bill requires a concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress to pass.
Correct.
Okay.
And then
there is
I think then rule 6.1 would also you would strike the insert. No, that's okay.
So the only change is to 5.9.
Does anybody have rule 6.1? Do you have 6.1 handy? I have that. I just have to see the
final. Page 6.
Are you checking for the effect that it would have in 6.1?
Yes.
Okay.
Give me just a minute. Well, why don't we, can we vote for the on the amendment separately? I move to consider the amendment separately.
All right, well, that's your amendment, and so I need a, since you've withdrawn and restated a motion, I need a second. A second to striking the second sentence in 5.9.
Second.
Discussion, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
As I stated before, I agree that the resolution and the bill should have the same threshold within our body to do so. But I think this is an important matter to get through and to decide. And the way I'm viewing it right now, the way things are happening right now at our table is it's getting, and I know this is what we do, but it's getting complicated. So I supported the original rule change coming out of membership. I think at another time we can deal with the resolution portion. I also think that we could, by our rules, state that a waiver of sovereign immunity requires a bill instead of a resolution in our rules. I think there are remedies to what we're talking about and what we're trying to amend right now. So since we're having discussion about amending what's before us right now, the way things have happened, I'm going to just support the original written rule before us, and not, I don't support trying to amend it right now, because we can do that at a later time, and we can have that resolution discussion at a later time.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yesterday, we discussed this, not at length, but enough to recognize that two of our members weren't here, Congressman Mason and Congresswoman Buffalo Head. And I'm glad that the two of you are here, and Congressman Hamilton made a motion to wait and postpone it till the two of you got here. That was later, I think the motion was withdrew, but still yet its effect is now you're here and we're able to vote on that. And how it came out of committee was that the bill would require a majority of the entire membership. Whether you were here or not, it would still take the 7 votes, a bill, and a resolution would take a majority of the members present. That's how it came out of committee and presented. So that's what you're referring to, and that's, I just wanted to be clarification to respectfully to the two of you that the way it came out of committee is for a bill, it's going to take still the 7 votes. Even if you're here or you're not here, it's still going to take 7. And resolutions would be for just those present, the majority of those present. I support that. That's the, as chairman of the committee, that's how it came out. And I hope that's how we can vote on that today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Congressman Mason.
Thank you. I want to say a couple of things. Is in here are 3 former speakers of the House, you being number 4. And over these years, you know, this 11 years, this body has come up with this document, the rules, which govern what we do here. And I always use this term, in our house. Our house changed just a little bit, but it's still our house. And these rules govern what we do and how we do it. And ultimately, I believe in the power of our speaker to also be able to guide the motions and movements of legislation on this table, that's brought to this table. That's why we have a Speaker of the House. And if for some reason there should be a resolution or some really heavy-duty piece of legislation, whether it be a bill or a resolution, I still think and I believe that the Speaker has that power, and we've given the Speaker that power to put it on tomorrow's agenda or delay it for another day before a vote or 2 days before until everybody's here to do that. That's just what I wanted to say. I always like to follow the lead of our speakers, whoever's sitting there, in regards to how they advise us or guide us here at the table. Now, we here at the table can override and vote as a body to say we want to do it this way. But somewhere as we do that, it's all in our rules. Good rules or bad rules, there's no perfect set of rules, but we got what we have and for us to function around them. In the beginning, when we began, and I quote Congressman Rivard, Judge Rivard, when he was here in the beginning, and Mr. Shackelford in the beginning, some of us were here, that our thoughts at the time is that we do 2 things. We appropriate money and we write law or bills, legislation. We do those 2 things. It came down to resolutions. It was the resolutions were like secondary in the beginning. That was in-house stuff for us in the development of our house over here. And it wasn't really anything that affected outside of what we did here in Congress as far as a resolution. Things evolve as the way we operate and do things, of course. And we're here today, and this is our watch. Whatever we decide upon, these rules happen. But as we know, we have a tendency to waive the rules and go on and also change the rules. But we can do that here at this table, or the next Congress may be uncomfortable and change the rules that we set up. I don't know. That's That just happens. I just want to make that statement in regard to support of the speaker, position of the speaker, and then what we do and what we decide upon, how we vote on changing a rule. Thank you.
Right. Well, thank you for your words, Congressman Mason. Again, how we got here is for one, there's movement right now to pass these rules. Yesterday, it was on the day before, it was asked to be placed on the agenda to do that to vote on it yesterday. And then it was, seemed like the body was either prepared or they didn't, or the only reason they weren't prepared was because they wanted all 12 of us to be here. And I think it's important for all 12, this is important enough for all 12 of us to be here for sure. So I did agree with that. However, I hadn't been notified that anyone would be absent today, and we're not, so I did go ahead and place it on. And but like you said, it's up to this body right now, and there's been a movement from one of our colleagues to go ahead and vote on the rules. But I say that if you're not prepared and you need more time, then you don't have to do this today, and I will hold off at that point and not place it on a future agenda unless there is movement to do so, just as we discussed yesterday that someone can do that in motions and notices. So I'm not going to force this anymore. But I will say this needs to happen pretty soon before we start voting on bills. I don't know if this rule is going to pass. I do know that there's disagreement within our body on this particular item that has come up, but it's very, very important. And I, as the speaker, cannot say, just want everyone to understand. I know you all do, but for anyone watching or listening, understand that I can't make this decision solely. This is a decision of our body. I do have my own vote, and I know how I'm going to vote. But if anyone needs more time, then you should take that. But at the same time, this needs to happen soon before we start voting on bills. Thank you. Congressman Mason.
I just need a clarification. I appreciate what Congressman Tillman said, and it's very clear the parts of it. And then what Congresswoman Edwards said of her. Give me some clarification. Is your motion and the same as what Congressman Tillman said?
Congressman Tillman spoke, and I know not everyone was at the rules meeting, but he spoke on how it came out of and how it was reported, and this is how it was reported out of, as you see it, this is how it was reported out of the Rules and Ethics Committee. Congresswoman Edwards has moved to vote on it to approve the rule. However, she has stated she wants to make an amendment to this right here, which you see before you. So she was striking. At this point now, she's withdrawn the other language that she had, but as stands right now, the second sentence regarding the resolution, a resolution requires an affirmative majority of those members of the Osage Nation Congress present at a properly convened session as specified by the Osage Nation Constitution and pursuant to Osage law to pass would be stricken. Therefore, it would just read as the first sentence that you have on the copies before you, and everyone does have a copy to look at if you are following along. So that's where we are right now. Congresswoman Edwards.
And I will say that the reason that I make this motion is because after the meeting, Congresswoman Whitehorn and others brought to my attention that we were making something inconsistent. And for the reasons that she expressed to me and others, I thought about it and I agreed with her. So then I changed it to, I was going to change it to make that rules and bills and resolutions were the same. But this morning, Congressman Shaw points out to me that the whole part about orders, resolutions, and votes is in an entirely different section than the issue of bills. So then I, under that rationale, agreed that we should just not address the issue of resolutions right now and go back and try to look at section 15 and figure out what's going on with section 15. So my motion is just for clarity of what we really need to understand right now, which is bills.
Okay, Thank you. Congresswoman Buffalohead?
No, nothing.
Congressman Shaw?
As much as I support this rule, I feel like I should make one statement that some of us, I'm sure, know about and remember from the last time we discussed this in the previous special session, but I feel like it needs, just in the interest of transparency for those who may not be aware, I know the assistant principal chief is quite aware, as is the principal chief. If this rule passes, this will have the effect that if we have an 8-member quorum and there's a 4-4 tie vote, that the assistant principal chief will not be able to cast, we will not interpret the principal chief, assistant principal chief's vote as casting the deciding vote. Even though it would be 5-4 with his vote, that's not a majority of the entire membership of Congress. And we've been told that if that were to happen, that we can count on a referral of that case in controversy to the Supreme Court. You know, until such a time that the Supreme Court advises us otherwise, we have to use our own wits to be able to interpret what the constitutional framers meant. We can't let fear of going to the Supreme Court make our decision for us. If that should happen, then I welcome the Supreme Court's enlightenment to be able to tell us. But short of that, we have to use our own minds and hearts to be able to decide on this. That's a whole separate quagmire about whenever the Congress shall be evenly divided, the assistant principal chief shall cast the deciding vote. Well, that actually means there'll be some circumstances to when we are evenly divided that he or she will not cast the deciding vote, because if it's 4-4 and it's an 8-person quorum, 5 is not 7. And so we need to realize that creates a quagmire by itself. But I think even despite that, I feel like this rule is proper for us and will help the Congress going forward.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Supernall?
What are we going to do if the vote ties? Today.
The amendment?
Mm-hmm. This one. Would I have to have 8 to pass?
Yes.
Okay.
Read section 15. It would have to go to the principal chief anyway.
Congressman Norris.
I'm trying to think of this not as a framer of the Constitution, but as a member of this Congress. And read the Constitution as anyone else would, and not refer back to 10 years ago, whenever we were discussing this. But I want to support anything that's going to make our laws better. But reading the rule, I can't support it as it's written, because I look at the membership of Congress when we're in session is a quorum, which would be 8 members. 8 members makes up a quorum of Congress. And then we can exercise our legislative power. And our legislative power is to pass bills. So we can pass bills with 8 members, and 2/3 vote of those 8 members would pass a law. But if there's a tie, then I believe we should have a tiebreaker. And that tiebreaker would be the assistant principal chief. As this is written, this rule change, as it's written, I just cannot support it as such. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. Congressman Shaw.
I just wanted to address one of my colleague's comments about ability. If we meet with a minimum quorum of 8, we are able to discharge or conduct our legislative powers. There are some at least a couple of legislative powers we could not conduct or discharge. One would be a veto override, Okay, so we're not able, the minimum quorum of eight doesn't allow us to discharge all of our powers, because that requires nine, okay? And then most of us would interpret the removal threshold to be 10 votes. Can't do that with a quorum of eight. So there's a couple of situations, not far-fetched, that you can't use all the powers. So, I mean, that makes you have to believe that a quorum of eight does not allow you to discharge all of your powers. You simply don't have enough people there to reach the vote threshold.
Okay. There's a lot of discussion going on. It's 10 minutes till 11. We do have an IFS for Commerce today. We do need to end at that at noon. And we are getting off topic a little more in depth. We are discussing the amendment at this time. So I think we need to cease discussion on that and get to the vote on the amendment. So again, the amendment would strike, if you have your copy before you, it would strike the second sentence. So the amendment to the rule that passed out of committee would be now be a bill requires a concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress to pass, which is the language mirrors, I don't know if it's word for word, but the language in the Constitution. So, roll call, please.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
No.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Supernov?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head?
No.
Speaker Pratt?
No. Okay, the amendment fails. And we will now, Congressman Walker?
I'll let you finish.
Okay, we will now vote on the rule as you see before you. Congressman Walker.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and get my comments out of the way and let everyone else poke holes at it. I think this is probably going to pass. And as far as, you know, your decision being made, whether or not, you know, it's based on the likelihood of ending up in another court battle and spending the people's money or not, I agree with Congressman Shaw. Don't let that be a basis of your decision. I'm going to be voting no against it, and I'll state a few reasons why. One, yes, 11 years of precedence is a compelling reason for me. I think that says a lot, especially since we've had three members of the Reformation Commission serve on this Congress, two of them on the very first Congress. The Chief of Staff of the first executive branch was Hepsie Barnett. She was as involved, if not more involved, than anyone in the drafting of this Constitution. She never brought up the seven vote threshold. I think that's telling to me. I also feel like it doesn't make common sense that the chief would not break, or assistant chief wouldn't break a 5-5 tie, especially the Constitution delegates him as an ex officio member of this body. So that does give the possibility for a convenient absence. Even if you know that you're going to be on one side or another, if you're on the side that you know the assistant chief say is going to break the tie that you don't want, that's on the opposite side of you, is all you have to do is leave or not be there. And does that seem a bit irresponsible? Yes, it does. But I do believe that that could happen, especially if it's something that was important to somebody. So we're basically saying that the assistant chief can break a tie, but it's only in the case that all 12 members of us are here. Well, Section 9 does say that two-thirds of the members constitutes a quorum and enables the body to exercise its powers. And one of our powers, our most important power, is to pass laws. Section 12 says that it takes a majority, a majority of Congress, and we keep hearing the word present, right? That's really important. The present isn't stated. Well, could it not be argued that the absence of the word entire, the entire is absent as well? Is that not just as important? So you're saying that Section 9 says that it takes two-thirds to constitute a quorum that enables us to pass laws. Well, Section 12 goes on to say that a majority of the members of Congress, it's hard for me to believe that when we're meeting as a body, passing laws with two-thirds of our membership, that we're not the Congress. We are the Congress. As long as there's eight members here, we're the Congress. And I'll be voting no. I anticipate this passing, and I anticipate us being taken right over to the court again to let the Supreme Court tell us. So be it. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please keep your comments brief, as we noted the time? Congresswoman Edwards.
Under this theory, then, if this doesn't pass, 5/6 of eight members is what's needed to remove an official. Because it's only the people present.
Fractions used there.
Any more discussion? Congresswoman Whitehart.
I support the rule change, and I will be voting yes for it. Some of the points Congressman Walker brought up about the quorum. Quorum stated there to give a guidance on the threshold for this body to come together and officially meet. We have to have eight people here to do so, or we can't. And I think that's a very smart thing to be in our Constitution, but also it encompasses seven members of Congress that it would take to pass a legislative bill out. So that number was set at that limit to, maybe not specifically, but functionally, to encompass a seven member vote to pass legislation. Also, the premise that if we change this, people can walk out and votes won't be able to be made or taken, that can happen right now. And from my understanding, quite possibly did in years past, and maybe even present, that this rule is not going to prevent a person from walking out or not showing up on a day a vote that they don't support would be taken. So, you know, the most compelling thing to me is this is before us now. We have to evaluate the words of our Constitution, as Congressman Shaw said. And if past bodies have missed this and not debated it, there's no fault there. And there's no fault in my mind there, but this is before us now. And we can put this in our rule, as our attorney advised us, or not put it in our rule, but I think it's a good thing to do right now. And as far as the resolution measures, we can work on those later. We can take this a step at a time. Or waivers of sovereign immunity, we can take this a step at a time. So I do support this rule change, and I will be voting yes for it.
Thank you. Anyone else? There's no more discussion. Roll call.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Baker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
No.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congressman Supernova?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Yes.
Congresswoman Buffalo Head?
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Did you vote? We couldn't hear you.
Yes.
I mean, you coughed at the same time, so we didn't hear a vote.
Speaker Pratt?
Yes. Okay. The amendment to the rules passes. We're now in motions and notices. Are there any motions or notices? Congressman Walker?
Governmental Operations Committee will meet today from 1 to 4, and we're going to go over the election board's proposed changes to the rules for our election process and also the rules and regulations in the code. So if you're interested in participating in that discussion, that's what we're going to be talking about. Thank you.
Congressman
Whitehorn? Just a question to the speaker. I know this is presented and I'm not trying to throw up roadblocks, but does that take precedent over considering the annual operating fund legislation? I'm just curious to know, because we have bills before us with appropriations to the branches of government.
Yes, it would, and I don't know where they are exactly, what's been discussed thus far. So I would actually have to ask the chair, Congresswoman Buffalo Head.
Well, that was my concern when we scooted out a special session early with 7 more days to spare, that we could have been working on that, and everyone said we'll work on it the first week of fall session. And I said, somehow, some way, members will scoot out of it being worked on the first week of session. That was my big concern. I think that Congressman Walker has got a good handle on his meeting times and the agendas, and I feel comfortable with his decision to put it on the agenda today. I think it needs attention. I think we have put it off now for an entire year, literally an entire year.
Congressman Walker.
Yeah, I'll respond to that. And that was taken into consideration. I left that time open. I gave ample time for another committee chair to schedule a Friday afternoon meeting. It wasn't. We did make a commitment to the election board that we would work on that. And once that time this afternoon sat idle, I asked if the election board and supervisor would be available this afternoon, and I scheduled the meeting. Had that not been on our plate, Governmental Operations Committee would not be meeting this afternoon.
Congressman Edwards?
Well, with all due respect, the rules voted on by the Congress say that appropriations bills are going to take precedent. And the reason for that is exactly what we're going to be up against. We have all these budgets that need to come out by the 20th. And in the past, we have always scheduled all our appropriation legislation before our substantive legislation, so long as it's still pending.
Congressman Walker.
Could the same not be said about 2 or 3 bills that are already progressing through the process? There are other bills that are moving in front of appropriation bills.
Congressman Whitehorn.
I believe those were before the appropriation bills were assigned and divided. And
no.
Yes.
17-106.
The Appropriation Committee had not yet divided and assigned those bills, and that's the membership committee that has progressed that through. The membership committee does not consider legislation.
Congressman Shaw.
Well, we've set a deadline for those appropriation considerations of those sections to be submitted. And I think the committee chair should be able to control the agendas as long as they realize that there is a deadline. And that means that even if an evening or a Saturday meeting is required to meet that deadline, then the members of Congress should make themselves available for that committee chair. Okay.
Okay. Any more? Congresswoman Edwards.
My question is this a rule suspension?
Okay. I don't believe that it would necessarily be a rule suspension. The rule is there. The priorities have been set. We all understand that it is a budgetary session, but
Well, clearly the priorities aren't understood.
Well, and he just said that he wouldn't have had a meeting today, and I can't force him to have a meeting, but he said, stated that he wouldn't have even held a meeting had it, and I don't know why that is either. Congressman Walker.
I have several other meetings scheduled, 2-hour meetings scheduled over the next couple weeks. I just went through this morning, I've got what I believe is ample time to get through the sections that have been delegated to my committee, especially based on yesterday's work. So I just find this to be extremely counterproductive and a big waste of time.
Any other motions or notices? Congresswoman Whitehorn? Governmental operations has been noticed. Congressman Supernaw?
I scheduled a meeting for immediately following session on the sections. That's up to Kelly and Casey to bring presenters over, and there's nobody here, so I may cancel that meeting. I don't know. I'll have to talk to him and see.
I see Mr. Johnson here. And then also, as we continue to move forward, it was a discussion, it's not a rule, but a discussion that only the select committees hold IFS meetings. And so please just remember that. I haven't seen the updated schedule to what all has been noticed thus far, but please keep that in mind. The standing committees, and just like someone just mentioned, we can work until 10 o'clock or Saturdays or so, but please try to reserve that IFS time, especially because for your own sake, you need that time to finish by noon. So now you have 50 minutes, and that doesn't leave you a whole lot of time to address things in your committee. And it also allows, we're in a new environment, it takes a while to get set up, and it also allows for everyone to take a lunch, including the staff. Congresswoman Buffalohead?
It hasn't been noticed yet, but I scheduled a congressional affairs for 8:30 on Monday. That's the only time that's available. We missed yesterday's because we didn't have a quorum because I was at a funeral for my father-in-law. So 8:30 to 9:30 Monday, and then also one for Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn to another meeting.
Second.
All those in favor, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
You opposed, say no. We are adjourned until Monday at 10 a.m.
I don't know. I wasn't.